Broadcasting Network. The views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will relieve you. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on 1240 AM. It's time for...
Listen up! Jesus is on the air again. He never gives up. He comes back every Saturday morning. We hope you do too, listeners. We hope you do.
And that was Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
Yeah, well, we do. I forgot. We do. This is, we're on the air. I got to say the truth.
You're getting old now, Palmer.
I know.
And we got a great show lined up.
You want to introduce our guests?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? Pastor Bird?
Yes, sir.
What church are you affiliated with?
Our church is Gospel of Peace International in Oceanside, New York.
Oh, great.
And you're Dion?
Yes, Dion
and
Tonga.
Are you affiliated with Pastor Bird?
Yes.
And you have a ministry? Both these have the same ministry?
Yes,
now,
sir.
Now, I want you to know, I'm going to ask you some questions about the ministry. I don't want Palmer to trump me on the questions. Okay? So... And I think it's a fascinating ministry that you guys
have.
Can
I just welcome them? May I say a word?
Please do.
Welcome to the radio show, both of you.
Oh,
we're
thank
so happy.
You, so much.
You know a friend of mine who recently died, Father Ralph Ferro.
Oh, yes.
And with the prison ministry. And
absolutely.
Maybe you know Al Barbarino from the prison ministry.
I believe we do.
Yeah.
Al has a prison ministry, and he's very prominent in it, and he goes there regularly, and... He's a great guy.
And listeners, you may think this is kind of removed from you, but we want to get across in this program, you all are in your own prison of negativity by the way you think and act and the way you feel. And until you learn to find a way to break out of that prison, you're going to be dead meat.
That's true.
Is that blunt?
Amen. That's a good way to put it.
And the main thing is that we all have one God, and we all love God, no matter what religion we practice.
And I get good news and bad news about God loving me. He said, I give you good news and I give you bad news. All right, so what's the good news? He said, I love you. I said, well, all right, what's the bad news? There isn't a damn thing you can do about it.
There's nothing you can do about it. That is true.
All right, now, let's get started. Let's talk about this prison ministry, if you don't mind, Dr. Palmer. How did you get involved in a prison ministry, and why? You know, I mean, like, there was something that had to hit you to help the people that are in prison. What was it, and why did you get involved?
Well, I tell you, it's a funny story. I was ordained some now probably 12 years ago, and I was raised in a Baptist church in the Bronx, and so all I saw was traditional ministry. You were a pastor or a minister. You went to church on Sunday. You had Bible study in Sunday school, and that's what we did. There was no prison ministry, if you will, in our church. And as time went by and I got ordained, there was a chaplain that I met named Chaplain Robert Williams, who was in Naphnock, in a state office. Naphnock, that's Eastern Correctional Facility.
Okay.
It is a maximum security penitentiary in Orange County. And so I'm, you know, a little green at things and invited the minister. So I'm excited. Yes, I don't know what Naphnock is. I think it's a church. I'm like, okay, I'm getting an opportunity. And funny thing, when I got ordained, there was a woman who began to pray for me. And she was saying, where you're going, no one is going, and who you're sent to. No one will welcome you, and the people you're with will abandon you. And I was like, well, this is really not a flowery prophecy. You know, you're looking.
No one wants to hear that.
Really, taking
not a flowery ministry.
Really, not a flowery ministry. So I'm not knowing anything she's talking about. And she was saying, I see bondage and I see hurt and all of these things that she saw. And she began to cry. Sometime after that, I was invited to preach at a, what I thought a nice church, Napanock. You know, with a great pastor, Pastor Williams. Yeah. And we drove far and we got up and we saw the gates and security. And that's when the fear started to hit us. And the ladies that were with me was like, what's this? And I said, okay, well, this is maybe just a little church they have inside. Long story short, we walked in. There were 2,000 men. And a woman had never preached there before. Not a young woman, not any woman at all. So it was a phenomenon, because the church was in the yard. So as we walked through the yard, we saw all of these men in these orange suits and just fear. The women were in fear, and they were like, we don't want to be here.
And they were tough-looking guys,
tough-looking guys.
And they all had tattoos all over the place, right?
we didn't see the tattoos. We were so afraid. We just kept, and as I was praying, you know, God said, your eyes will look to the hills from with cometh your help. So I just looked up to pray, and that's when I saw the sharpshooters around. So I said, well, we'll probably be okay.
Well, help, they don't shoot you.
Help is here, you know. But long story short, as we walked through, the men were saying to the chaplain, hey, chap, who's preaching today? And he said, she is. And they began to laugh. And he said, no, really. He said, really, she's going to preach? And he said, guess what? I'm coming to church. And so then we passed some Jewish people, and they said, hey, what's going on in the yard? And they said, oh, we have a guest today. And they said, well, what's happened? They said, I think this girl is preaching. And so they said, hey, we're coming to church. And then we passed some Muslims, and they said, hey, it was real buzz in the yard today. What's going on? They said, hey, there's the speaker here. You know, what's she doing? Is that, I think she's going to preach. They said, hey, girl, we're coming to church. So that day, every race and every kindred and every creed, because it was a woman in the yard, came to church. And I said, Lord, if you ever spoke, speak now. Amen. And the funny thing is, when I walked in, I heard somebody call my name, and they said, Soraya. And I turned around, it was a young man that I grew up with. And I hadn't seen him for years. And he said, what are you doing here? And I said, I guess I'm the speaker. And the Lord moved in that place. And regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of separation, people were getting filled with the Holy Ghost all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And you had people convert?
Convert.
From your talk?
From that day.
What was your talk about?
I preach, Adam, where art thou? And from Genesis, the first thing God said to Adam is, where are you? And he said, I'm hiding. Before that, they had such a great relationship. But when sin came in, he hid from God. We preached about men hiding from the presence of the Lord because they felt, I've done something wrong, and God could not want me anymore. And we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit getting us back into reconciliation with God, and that you don't have to hide anymore.
Because they were sinners. They didn't have to
because
be afraid.
They were sinners. Yeah. And we were saved, and we were afraid. So sometimes prison is not a physical thing. Prison is a mental and emotional thing. And we were more in fear and bondage than they were. So I thought God was sending me to free them, and found out that I was getting free myself.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
About how I thought about people, how I thought about ministry. My whole mindset was shifting at one time, and I never thought that God was sending me there that they might minister to me.
So, Dionne, how did
you drag Dionne along?
Yeah, I did. You know, I did.
How did she drag you into this?
Well, it, technically, it was a dragging.
I know what you'd say that.
But honestly, speaking of people being in prison, you really don't have to be in prison to be in bondage. And when I first met Pastor Bird, I was in a form of bondage. I was in an environment that I really wasn't healthy for me or my son. My son was about 6 months old, and I made a decision to walk away from everyone and everything, and I went into the shelter system. And when I went into the shelter system, a young lady invited me to church, and that's when I met Pastor Bird. And it was the first time I really could hear God for myself clearly, and he said, follow her. So for 3.5 years now, I haven't left. Uh-huh. And
like a real disciple. Uh-huh.
And so when I was with Pastor, I'd never been in church before. I actually grew up overseas in a Muslim country. I didn't know anything about really God. I knew that he existed. I just didn't have a relationship with him. And I just grew in leaps and bounds just by her pouring into me and seeing the work that she did with people and in transitional housing. It was ironic. I was in the shelter and I ended up working at a shelter, and now I'm the administrator of the transitional housing program. And so Pastor said, well, there's a slot in the jail and they need a group. And, you know, they need someone to oversee the group. And I said, well, I'll go. I'd never gone to a jail before. And I was like, well, this is going to be a little different. But when I went there, I looked at the young ladies, and they were everyone that I used to hang out with, everyone that, you know, these aren't bad people. They're just normal people who made wrong decisions. And so what we do in the group is tackle those cycles. Like, what caused you to make these wrong decisions? And a lot of them is because I never felt love, or I never felt the love of God, or I didn't know that God existed to a degree that he would send someone all the way in the prison just so I can stop these cycles and I don't have to come back here anymore. So it just ended up being an awesome, awesome ministry. I look forward to seeing them every week.
Deanna, I'm a psychologist, and that's my whole premise. Yes. People are in trouble because they never felt loved. So absolutely. What I do is try to teach them that God loves them, yes. And then let the Spirit take over from there.
You never show me you love me.
Well, you're hard.
I never even got a hug from the guy.
The only reason why I'm here is somebody's got to watch out for him.
Right. But you know,
he was afraid.
I'm so glad you said the word afraid, because a lot of people are simply that. They're afraid to love.
Yeah.
And there's a wonderful scripture that says there is no fear in love. And
it's agape love.
Yes,
it's God's
agape.
Yes.
And it's God's
not
love.
Erotic.
And it's because we have not seen love in a lot of the people we minister to, and that's in the church. Remember, saying we're not talking about quote unquote prison, the walls. We're talking about the churches we go to and the shelters we go to, and wherever God sends us, we find people who are afraid to love. Either they've been in marriages and the marriages failed, and they told themselves, well, I'll never go through that again because that divorce was horrible.
Right.
You know? Or you find someone who maybe father left them, and you have a lot of abandonment issues. And so the reason why it's so hard for them to accept the love of God is because God comes as a father. And they're saying, but how do I connect with that when I didn't have a relationship with my father? So there's fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear and covers a multitude of sin.
Yes.
And so you have to get them. The heart of the prison problem is the heart of the prisoner. It's always a heart issue.
Absolutely.
And we are all in prison in our own ways.
We are all.
Yes.
And
yes,
I don't care,
sir.
Pastor, how long you've been a pastor. You got your own prison.
You better believe it.
Dion, you got yours.
Yes.
You
and Tony, is a lost cause.
I am. I really
life
am.
Sentence.
Dion, what do you come up with in the groups?
Well, really, my group is self-empowerment. So it's not, you know, they have different groups, Bible study group, et cetera, you know, some of the rehabilitation programs. So mine is self-empowerment. The whole premise of my group is to tackle who do people say you are, because that affects your actions. Who do you say you are? What mindset do you have about yourself and who God ultimately says you are? And how do you get to your God-given purpose? So we empower them to find that seed, that gem inside of them that maybe they never dug deep enough to find, but it's in all of us. So that's what we tackle in my group.
And that's better than scripture. I hate to say it. Well, because you dig right down and you touch the heart of the person.
Well, that's
so important. That's where God wants to live.
That was one of Jesus' famous sayings, whom do you say I am?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it carries all the way through. The dots get connected.
Yes.
And I think that's a, you know, I think asking the prisoners to find themselves, I think that's the heart of what you guys are doing.
Absolutely.
You minister to female prisoners or male and female prisoners?
It's both.
Both?
We started in NAPNOC, and that's maximum security all-male facility, 2,000 men.
Maximum security?
Maximum security, all-male, and it's 2,000 of them. They're in the yard. They're there. It's very freeing type of environment because you don't see the cells. We're really non-traditional. Most prison ministries, you go on Sunday to a prison and you have praise and worship and you sing a couple of songs and you bring a word. We don't do that. I literally walk throughout the jail, and I can see you from your cell to small groups, which Dion does with youth. And it's the biggest growing population, which is why we really wanted Dion to come. She's in her 20s, and the youngest in Nassau County is about 15.
Wow.
And so we have a youth population that's growing. And I said, God, we need somebody young who understands it, who has the heart of God. And so it's so wonderful. And I do 21 and over. So I was doing men for so long.
Does that mean you're over 21?
I wouldn't say that. Just have a heart for those.
Okay, all right.
Let him guess. Let him guess, Pastor. Don't tell him.
And so we've been ministering to men because the population is just about 10 to 1. Women, and then women began to explode. And I came from state, went down to county, and was walking through the jail one day. You know, we have a badge. We can meet you in your cell. We can meet you in a small group. And what we really focus on is small groups, large groups, and one-on-one. When you're ministering to a person as far as a church service, you're speaking a word. But when you're counseling them, now you're hearing. And the key is to listen. A lot of people have never been heard.
Yes.
You want to sit, and you want to be a great listener.
Absolutely.
You have to say, so tell me about your father.
Yeah.
Amazing thing with Jesus, and that's what I deal with. I deal with a little chart that God gave me. Looks like a sunburst. And we go back to your relationship with your father.
Mm-hmm.
And we look for cycles. Cycles of abandonment and rejection where you begin to not feel your identity. And we ask people those questions. And the amazing thing about Jesus, when he was growing up for 30 years, he didn't heal the sick. He didn't raise the dead.
He started his ministry.
Blind eyes weren't open.
No, he was lazy.
Blind, but amazingly so, at 30, he went to John and he said, hey, John, you gotta baptize me. He said, oh, Jesus, come on. You're the King of Glory. You don't need baptism. He said, no, you got to do it. He'd never heard the voice of his father. Now, he'd heard Joseph, but he wanted to hear his father. He wanted to know his identity. And after he was baptized, Jesus said three amazing things. He gave him his identity. You are my son.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And I'm very proud.
The second thing, I love you,
mm-hmm.
which was huge. And the third thing, I'm so proud. Right. And those three things, most young men and women have never heard. So there's an identity crisis. And when they can find out those three things that God said, you are my child, I love you, and my God, I'm proud of you. That changes from the inside out. That I'm a sinner and you're proud? Mm-hmm. I've made mistakes, and how could you say that?
And that's what he's saying to us.
And that's right. What he's saying to
you're
us.
You're mine, and I'm proud of you.
And I love you so much.
Okay.
You know, we do a reading on each program.
It's a reflection.
A reflection on the readings from Sunday's Gospel.
Yes.
And an anonymous friend writes them for us.
Right.
And so I'd like to read this John
reads them, yes, by all means.
Okay. Wonderful.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Matthew 11. Very familiar words of our Lord Jesus. But listeners, have you processed them yet? These words remind us to take a really good, long look at how our Savior moved among us during his time on earth. Look at how he bore the burden of humanity upon his shoulders. Look at how he approached the sick, the poor, the sinner. Look at how he carried the cross of a condemned criminal. What do we see? A meekness and humility that led to our salvation and that of the whole world. To be meek and humble of heart takes on new meaning in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean to be weak or a weakling. It means to have the strength of God within you, because you now have within you the true understanding of love.
Yes.
Which is not to be self-centered or selfish, but selfless. Dion, in service of God and others. Are you strong enough, listeners, to be meek? Are you strong enough to be humble of heart? Are you really a Christian patterned after Jesus Christ? It's a question whether you're in prison or not. We all have to answer.
And the question also is, the fact also is that he's there to help carry our burdens.
People don't believe that, though.
This is from Matthew 11, 28. I actually say this prayer every morning. I do an hour of prayer. And this is one of the prayers I do say. I'd like to say it, okay? And,
yes. Sure.
And it's on the premise of Matthew 11. As I said, come to me, all of you who labor and are burdened, mm-hmm. and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. And the quick prayer is, O heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in you, hoping for all things from your goodness. You make a root flourish beneath the soil, and you can make fruitful the darkness in which I find myself today. I adore you in all your purposes, even without knowing them. Your will be done, not mine, I know. May I be patient. It is so difficult to realize that these trials, heartbreaking as they are, can be turned into blessings through you. Lord, give me peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of soul, as I offer you my thoughts, my words, my actions, and yes, Lord, I offer you my sufferings. May they all be for your greater glory. Amen.
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 And so that is one of my favorite.
And you know, we're sitting meetings. Here, two Catholics with two Baptists.
Yes, and we're on the same line.
That's right.
We connect the dots. We all have the same God. We all love Jesus.
As a matter of fact.
I was up at a conference in upstate New York, and I had to stay at a bed and breakfast. And the owner was a Baptist. And I was telling him what I was doing. I was going to be speaking to Catholics about whatever, love, God's love. He said, we are saying the same thing. Why aren't we together? I said, because we both are right. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. we believe we're right and that's it. You know?
And that's why even after saying I was raised in a Baptist church, afterwards, our church is non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever you are. Jesus just said, come all ye who are laden, right? Labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So whoever you are. And a lot of times I ask God, what is this, the denomination? What is all of this stuff? And he said, well, you have to understand there's addition, and addition uses whole numbers. And it gets, you know, and then you got
Absolutely.
Multiplication, and you'll get more whole numbers.
Absolutely.
And subtraction, you'll get less. But then you have division, and there's a numerator and a denominator. And a denominator causes a split. And that's a fraction. You know, and that's what's happening. We're being fractioned off. And now even in our groups at Nassau County Correctional Center, anybody can come. It's called Life Skills. And it doesn't matter what denomination you are. It doesn't matter. You come and you start to get free.
And the fact is that we're all creators of our Heavenly Father. And that makes us all brothers and sisters together.
Exactly. We all have the same father.
We all have the same father, and we all have this, and we all have Jesus, and we're together. The dots are all connected.
Now, I'm going to say something that's theologically incorrect, right?
Mm-hmm.
In my prayer life, I have heard, I know that there are divisions of my love, and people come up with their own rationales, right? My response to you is you are all right. You're just incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the full picture.
You don't have the full picture.
Exactly.
True, but we're connected. That's the main thing. You are our sisters. We are your brothers.
Exactly.
Trevor is our brother. We love Trevor like a
we
like
love
a
you,
brother.
Trevor.
We really do. Where'd he go?
Trevor who?
And he's a pastor also.
Yes, he is.
And we're all together, and we all have the same God that we love.
Absolutely. The caveat I had, though, with you are just incomplete, it's incumbent on you to live up to your belief system to the fullest. And then when you get stuck, reach up to me, and I'll straighten you out.
All right.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Hey, Palmer. I feel like a song should be coming on.
Yeah, why not?
What do you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I always have one. Let's see. You know, we have a favorite guy. I do anyway. Father Charles Mangano. And
what makes you say, think he's not my favorite?
I didn't.
I love him.
he's written a song, Lead Me, Lord.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, longing for their Lord. For God's coming kingdom shall be theirs. Blessed are the sorrowing, for they shall be consoled. And the meek shall come to the world.
You know,
very good.
Yeah, it did really fit. We pray about the music, and it just fit right in.
Perfect.
I guess somebody knows what he's doing. I guess so.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
yes, he does all the time.
It's Jesus' show.
Oh yes,
and we do as he tells us.
Yeah. I say that in my group all the time. I always tell them, I was like, when I come in, I really don't know what I'm speaking about until I get here. And
right.
I'll hear one word and I'll be like, okay, we're going to talk
we're
about
gonna
abandonment
go.
Today.
That's it.
You know, you have to really fit the needs of the people. You can't just speak at people and not be speaking about anything that relates to them.
That's right.
You know, so I think a lot of times people like a platform or a soapbox to speak on.
Absolutely.
But they're not really.
People have heard scripture and they've heard a lot of stuff, but they don't realize God is not a concept or words.
Yes.
He's a person. And he wants to relate to you, just as four of us.
And he loves us.
He loves us.
He loves us so much. This much, where our hands stretched out. That's how much he really loves us.
And I bet you get relationships going in your group that you would never expect.
Yes, I love my girls. I truly do. I look forward to seeing them. It's an awesome, awesome group.
Let's get on with the saint, because I want to talk about the saint. We have a feature. Every week we feature a saint.
Yes.
And a lot of times the saint that we feature comes through prayer. And it comes through the Holy Spirit. I think this particular saint sort of fits into our show today. It's Saint John Chrysostom. Chrysostom in Greek means golden mouth. So who was this Saint John Chrysostom? Actually, he's a friend of all sinners and probably could be called the patron saint of big time sinners. And I'll tell you why in a little while. But as saints go, he wasn't really a very nice man. Indeed, considering some of the things that he had said, it's hard to see how he ever became a saint, let alone a saint who was famous for being a good speaker. He was very rude to women. He was a little wicked. He didn't take too much to the Jewish people at the beginning. And he even once said he didn't like the Jews. So how did a man who said such terrible things and had such terrible thoughts ever become a saint? Well, that goes to show us that we all could be saints.
Oh, yes.
No matter how wicked we are, how mean we are,
yes,
how prejudiced we are.
Whoops, that leaves me out.
It leaves you out. Eventually, we were all meant to be saints. In his case, it lies in his nickname, which in Greek means a golden mouth. And he was a great speaker. He was given that nickname because he was such a persuasive speaker, like John Palmer, or maybe like myself.
I think our guests are
better. Or like you guys.
Yeah, look what they're doing.
People often pushed their way to the front of the church when he was talking so that they could be nearer to him. He was clever. There was no doubt about that. As a young man, he started training to be a lawyer. But when he was 18, he decided he couldn't be a lawyer. It was not his thing. And he became a kind, loving Christian. And he gave up his career and became a monk. Unfortunately, the monastery he went to live in was very damp. His health suffered, and he had to leave and go back home. Home was the city of Antioch, which was part of Turkey, by the way, where he became a deacon and then a priest. So with all his prejudices, all his hatreds, all his sins, he became a priest. It was at this time that he became famous for his sermons, which were always easy to understand. Crowds of people packed into the churches to listen to him. They listened so hard, they forgot where he was going around them. And so the churches became popular places for pickpockets, because as he was talking, people listened to him and didn't realize what was happening around them. And pickpockets were going around and taking people's pocketbooks and pockets. John had to warn the people who came to listen to him to leave their purses at home or risk losing them. That's how popular he was. He was so popular that in the year 397, when he was 50, the emperor of the time insisted that John become a bishop of Constantinople. John wanted to stay in Antioch, but the emperor, whose name was Arcadius, was determined. John had little choice, so he went to Constantinople. It was very famous for his wealth and entertainment. John didn't approve of that. He cut down his own expenses, wearing only a shabby gown rather than expensive robes. He spent very little on food and gave all the savings he had to the poor and to support a hospital. And so he wasn't afraid to say what he thought, as we saw at the beginning. He attacked the misuse of wealth and other evils, and in doing so, he made enemies, especially among the rich and the famous. One person who attracted his criticism was the emperor's wife. her name was Acusaxa, and John disapproved of the way she lived, giving her a name, Jezebel, the name of a wicked woman mentioned in the Bible. He spoke out against her and her use of makeup and the fact that she went to watch horse racing on Good Friday. John attacked, didn't please Arcadius. Arcadius arranged for John to be banished from the city and sent into exile. No sooner had this happened than an earthquake hit the city. And of course, Arcadius thought this must have mean that God was angry that he would banished him, and he had John brought back to Constantinople. However, John was banished again a year later, this time for good, for the same old problem, opening his mouth. During the time, John wrote many letters and also composed prayers, some of which are still used. He was never afraid to say what he thought, as we saw. Sometimes this meant he was quite tactless and upset people, but he was always a friend of sinners. If you have done wrong, not once, but twice, or even 1,000 times, come to me. You will be healed through Jesus Christ, he said. And thousands of people did go to him. It is said that there were 100,000 Christians in Antioch when John was teaching there. And it was thanks to his golden mouth that many of these people first heard about Jesus through him. And so that's the story.
That's what you guys are doing.
Exactly.
So it sort of fitted perfectly into your mold.
You know where angels' feet are tread.
Yeah,
and exactly. And you know something, it's a great song. We fall down, but we get up.
Yeah.
And one of the phrases is, but for a saint is just a sinner who fell down.
Oh, that's right.
And got up. So we all have sinned and
such
come
as
short.
Such as St. Paul.
Right.
Who fell off the horse and
right.
got up.
Mm-hmm. You get up.
And became such a saint.
Such yeah. a saint. And one of the things you were saying when Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A lot of us are carrying burdens. That's how we get in these prisons. But they're not ours. It's someone else's. God said, my yoke is easy. So when you're carrying heavy burdens, it's not of the Lord. And so we have to be able to cast it upon Jesus. Sometimes we deflect on each other. That's where anger comes in. That's where drug addiction. We have a program in Nassau County where we work in the DART program, drug and alcohol rehab. Same thing. You're masking pain because you're carrying burdens that need to be given to God. They're not yours to carry.
Matt 11.
Yep.
That's what he says.
Keeping you in a prison in your own emotions.
Yes.
You know, and so our thoughts become our actions. And so bondages right. happen in the mind, how we think, who we are. And so it's so important to get our identities. God told Jeremiah, before you was in your mother's womb, I knew you.
Yes.
A lot of people that you see in prison, and so issues with parents and things that went on in childhood. But we have to go back before that. What was God's purpose for my life before sin crept in? And can I give those burdens to God and clear my mind? And then I'll get faith.
And you know, that mind is all powerful, to
oh,
say
yes.
the least.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I have people who come in and they, blah, 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 this going on. So I have a two-word therapy for the mind. You know what it is? Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
Well, you're mean.
I'm
not going to you.
But Jesus wasn't the nicest person. If you really look at the Bible, Pastor says it all the time. He wasn't polite or politically correct. So sometimes you just have to, you know, give people tough love and say, stop complaining, get over it, give it to God and move on.
And live in today. Forget about yesterday.
You have to let it go.
And don't worry about tomorrow. It's not here yet. So live in his now. Today.
And Jesus said, as a man thinks and believes in his heart, we would say, wait a minute, but you think in your mind. You don't think in your heart. So why would you say think in your heart? Well, what you think will start to affect your emotions. And that will start to shape who you are. And you'll start reacting out of anger and fear. And so this crime and this violence is coming out of the heart. But the heart has a mind. But we're emotional creatures. And so when we have good thoughts, one of my favorite scriptures is whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, if there be, think on these things. And we do certain things in our group where we start to change our mindset, you know, give an attitude of praise. Tell me something that the Lord has done for you today. If we dwell on negativity, we repeat cycles of abuse. But when you start to think about the goodness of the Lord and you can get a praise, praise changes your attitude. You can't say hallelujah and be mad at the same time. You know, as you begin to praise God and think of his goodness and God, thank you for my parents because I'm here. Father, thank you because there's a destiny. And we start to shift the mindset by gratitude and appreciation. And you begin to start loving. And it's wonderful when you can focus your mind on something that the Lord said. That's why the word of God is so powerful.
You know, I wasn't going to be here today.
Really?
Because I've been sick on and off for most of the week. And I woke
called me twice, told me he wasn't coming.
I woke up this morning, and I'm saying, you know, Lord, I should stay in bed. And this is going to be very hard for me to do this. And you hear the negative stuff? Right?
Thank you.
And then I finally prayed, and then I heard inside, change your heart.
Thank you.
Get out of bed. Get up and get over to the radio show. I walk with you, and I will strengthen you every step of the way. And I'm here.
That is a praise report.
And we're having a ball.
I am.
I would have missed out on all this. This
look,
would not have
fine,
been good.
You look fine to me, Palmer.
But that's true of the people in prison, too.
Yes.
They have no hope because they're going to be there for 20 years.
I believe it.
And you say, live in today. Shut up.
Because you never know how it's turned around. We actually had those testimonies where people, it looked like they were not getting out. I mean, it was absolutely no way. And then the person that was facing the most time got out before everyone else, just from being able to praise every morning, just having an attitude like, God, I know you're going to turn it around. And they actually got out before everyone else.
And now she's at our church, six daughters, breaking the cycle in her daughter. She's out. We have a school of the prophets where we just really teach people how to hear from God. A lot of them say, well, we've been praying, but he never speaks back.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's good. That's
but he may not use words.
Yeah.
He may touch you with peace.
Yeah, thank
all
you.
Different ways of talking
so
to us.
So many ways. And we really have a school where people finally get to hear God for the first time. Don't box him in. He speaks in his word.
Get that
he
all
speaks
the time.
Through others. He speaks on radio shows. I remember one time I was asking God, well, God, I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to go. And I was in my car, and I was driving, and I passed a Nike sign, and it said, just do it. And I said, oh, my God, I just have to do it. I just stop worrying about it and thinking about it and being negative about it. God,
that's
just
the Holy Spirit. That's the way
Holy
the Spirit,
Spirit
talks to you.
That he is. Speaks in all kinds of ways.
One of the talks that we do is how to get closer to Jesus.
Yes.
How does Jesus talk to us? And there are all different ways.
I remember saying to my wife, I don't feel as close to God as I used to. And she said, who moved?
Thank you.
Who moved?
And you know, even with Paul in the book of Revelations, he was in prison, he was in bondage, he was on the Isle of Patmos, he was on a ship without a sail for testimony of Jesus Christ, and he got there. But then he says, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and a door opened in heaven. Well, how are you in prison and at heaven at the same time? Because the Spirit cannot be boxed in. The Spirit cannot be in prison. The mind can, the heart can, but you can't stop the Holy Spirit. And you can be in any situation, but who the Son sets free is free indeed. And you can be in the bondage like John, you know, in on the Isle of Patmos. But we tell people, but if you let the Holy Spirit have his way, he'll shift you and you will see things you never saw, even with those who are physically free. But when your spirit is free, no one can box you in.
Absolutely.
And no one.
And you know, I have people who say, how do you know that? Show me. So I'm going to do for the next 15 minutes a show me. I'm going to start with every listener, and I'm going to ask them all very quietly, come sit down, be still, don't think of anything else but what you want to get rid of.
Mm.
We're going to play a song, Come to the Water. And then after that, we pray for healing on this program.
Yes.
And we
pray
for
all our petitions right there.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
All right.
I'm going to lay my hands on them.
Yeah, let's get on with it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let us come to I know.
You never used that money I gave you for singing lessons.
If you know the words, sing along. Listeners, shut up in your head. Shut up. Let go. Still, he tells you, be still. I am your God. Just be still. Shut up. Shh. Quiet down. Give it to Jesus. Come to the Lord. Now, listeners, come to the Lord.
Jesus, we give you thanks
yes.
for Pastor Berg and for Dion and their ministry and the good work that they're doing in the prisons and how they are converting these prisoners. I'm sure it's hard to tell, but I'm sure these prisoners are being converted and I'm sure they're coming out and they're going to be good servants of our Lord and Savior.
And now let's pray. Pray for the healing of our listeners so that they can come out of their prison.
Yes, God.
Lord Jesus, we ask you, touch all those who feel forgotten, abandoned, unloved.
Jesus.
Take them from their pain, Lord. Take that pain out of them. They're giving it to you now, Lord.
Yes, God.
They're giving it to you.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, help them to learn that you love them.
Thank you, Jesus.
That they are loved by the greatest lover ever. And touch them now, Lord. And we praise you and thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's saying, I'm opening cell doors
yes.
in hearts, souls, and lastly, minds.
Yes.
Pastor, if I have a prayer, say it.
Yes, Father God, we thank you for every heart that is heavy. Father, give them rest. Father, thank you. We thank you for peace. For you said, I don't give you the peace of this world. I give you my peace. And Father, with peace, Father, all things are possible as long as we believe. So touch every heart. Give it rest. Then heal every heart in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That they will see
amen.
The possibilities of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dion?
Amen.
Do you have
Father,
a prayer?
In the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for this meeting of your saints, oh God. We just thank you for even those that are listening on the radio and we're in their own personal prisons, oh God. Even now, touch them with your by your Holy Spirit, oh God. Touch them that they may know your peace and your love and your
yes.
joy, oh God. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Give to them this day, oh God. We thank you for the work that we all do, oh God, that you sent us to the highways and byways to compel them to come back to you, Jesus. So we thank, honor, and praise you for all that you're doing and all that you're about to do. These and all things we ask in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise. Amen. And Jesus, we give you praise and glory and thanks. We ask that you stay by our sides and you
yes,
help us, you
Jesus.
Guide us. And you let us know that you're not only our best friend, but you are our true big brother. And being our big brother, you will never desert us. And you will never let us go. And you will never let us fall by the wayside. And as John Chrysostom says, if you've committed one sin, 10 sins, 1,000 sins, come to me and I will bring you to Jesus.
Yes.
And you will find Jesus again. There's no need to be stay away from Jesus because you have sinned in the past. So we thank you, Jesus, and we thank you for your forgiveness.
And I'm hearing the words, I am breaking the bonds of addiction.
Yes.
And
yes.
those listeners,
yes.
addiction to drugs, alcohol, sex, of course.
Yeah.
But addiction to the negativity
My
of your mind
God.
That
yes.
imprisons you. And I give you the grace just for these few moments.
Hallelujah.
To break free of your mental prison.
Thank you, Jesus.
And come into the beauty and the wonder of our love. For I am love. And yes, my yoke is easy.
Mm.
But you have to learn how to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
And you wear it through surrender to what I lead you to do. He's saying Dr. Palmer could have stayed home today.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he surrendered to my will and came here today.
Thank you.
And
Lord.
He's going around like a preening rooster saying, look, I'm here. I'm here.
Well,
I feel that way. And listeners,
so we'll,
you're going to feel that way
so
too yes. when you do that.
Yeah.
That's
so
how
give it
you
to God.
Do it.
So Palmer will give you some praise and glory.
As long as I didn't lay an egg. That's
and so my Jesus, again, we give you thanks for Dion and Pastor Bird
Thank
for bringing
you,
them
God.
To us, for bringing them to our listeners and letting them know that there are people out there that are caring about people that are being forgotten about and being incarcerated into jails. And once they're incarcerated, there are people that worry and love them. So
thank you,
Jesus. And thank you for the ministry. And thank you for letting them share the ministry with us.
Do you have anything else you want to say?
Also, we have transitional housing programs. We know that with God, the race is not for the strong or the swift, but for endurance. And you can call. A lot of times we do the work inside the prison, and you come out and you face trials, and we have to continue the work. We have a wonderful women's house where Dion is the administrator. We have a men's house in Hempstead, and we have houses in Oceanside. So give us a call.
Where and how?
Yes.
What number? Say
in
the
your
number.
Phone number.
Yeah, give
your
us a call.
Website.
It. Yes, sir. 516-414-6810.
One more time.
That is 516-414-6810.
What was that?
516-414-6810.
Now, when these people call, what are you looking for? You're looking for donations. You're looking for help. You're looking for assistance.
When they call, just tell us what your needs are. That's all you have to do. Call us and say what's going on with you, and we will begin that journey of help through the Holy
That's
Spirit.
That's wonderful.
Yes, sir.
How about jobs for these prisoners when they get out?
Dion, you want to talk about the jobs?
Well, we honestly, most the issue that a lot of people have with a criminal record is getting jobs.
I know.
Yes. Because, well, you know, as soon as you fill out a job application, they ask you, you know, have you been convicted? Have you ever been arrested, et cetera? So what we focus on is entrepreneurship. So we have an entrepreneurship program where we teach people how to start their own business.
My doctor is an entrepreneurship.
I was just going to say, Tony's doctor is an entrepreneurship.
So we teach people how to, you know, find their gifts and be able to learn how to create streams of income, because God said, you know, cast your bread upon the water and let it come back to you seven different ways. So creating multiple streams of income so that you can be able to not be in bondage, amen,
you got it.
In bondage to a job that you don't even like and you're really not into. But, you know, regardless of your criminal history, you can find the income and the giftings that you have.
That's wonderful.
And sometimes, you know, God said, greater is he that's within us. Some of them are amazing speakers, writers. Mm-hmm. You have a story to tell. Sure. You know, God said you will overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. We have a conference every year called Let Her Speak. And we provide platforms. And some are writing books and great poets and going around speaking. And income is coming in. Others are working with us in transitional housing because we will hire you. We will train you. We will hire you.
Both John and I have books that we...
I can't help but be filled with the enthusiasm that the Spirit has put in you, because you've learned what Elvis is going to sing. You'll never walk alone.
You'll never.
Never.
We hope he's going to sing. Where are you, Elvis?
You need a little louder. That's it.
Hold your head. You got it. Sing along with Elvis.
You can't sing it that
be
good.
Be afraid.
You know the song.
Of the dark.
At the end
of the storm
is a goal. And the sweet silver soul of love.
Boom, dee, boom, dee, boom, dee.
Walk on.
Go ahead.
Through the wind.
Go ahead.
Walk on.
You don't want me to sing.
Through the rain. Though your dreams be tossed and blown, walk on,
walk on,
walk on,
walk on,
with
hope in your heart, and you'll
never walk alone. You'll never.
Listeners, you're not alone. God is with you. Even if you don't want him, he'll manage to get in. That's it. Keep walking. Keep doing it. Keep trying. Pick yourself up. Pick up your mat and walk.
Pastor, can you give a quick prayer to our listeners?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for breaking every chain. We thank you for every heart being lifted. We thank you for hope. We thank you for joy and peace. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that just by the listening of these dynamic men of God, that, Father, every chain will be broken by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for freedom, for the sun sets free is free indeed, and that has happened today. For you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, listeners. We love you.
We love
you. We give you praise, Jesus, and we give you glory.
See you
Thank
next
you.
Week.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.